This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
What a night for the Toronto Blue Jays. The bats erupting. They got loud in an 8-run sixth, and the Blue Jays blow the doors off of the New York Yankees tonight with a 14-1 win over New York. They have taken the two of the first three games of this series, and they have a chance to claim 3 out of 4 tomorrow night with the finale. Welcome to the postgame show of this one. It's being brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. With the win, the Blue Jays are now 2 games over the 500 mark. Their next win would at least secure a 500 finish in 2020. Blue Jays are now 29-27 on the year. The Yankees fall to 32-24 on the season. Toronto, 14 runs, 16 hits, no errors. The Blue Jays go 7-for-17 with runners in scoring position, leaving 9 men on base. The Yankees, 1 run on 4 hits, 4 errors in this ball game, and left 8 men on base while going 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Masahiro Tanaka got the start today, and he had a rather laborious effort. 4 innings worth of work. He walked 3, struck out 5, but was charged with 5 runs, 3 of them earned. His defense let him down and also stretched out some innings so the Blue Jays could get 8 hits and hang the 3rd loss of the season on Tanaka. He's now 3-3. Robbie Ray took the ball for Toronto. He went through 4 innings, had an elevated pitch count, and was lifted after allowing 1 run that was unearned on 3 hits. He walked 4 and struck out 5. A.J. Cole pitching the biggest moment of the ball game. He deserved the win. He got the win when the Yankees had the bases loaded and nobody out. And Cole came in, walked 1 man, and then got the next 3 in order. His scoreless inning of work included a walk and a strikeout, and he nets the win. He's now 3-0. Ross Stripling, his 3rd save in the major leagues, his 1st since the 2017 campaign. A win for A.J. Cole, he's 3-0. Stripling the save, his 1st. With the Blue Jays, Masahiro Tanaka takes the loss. He's 3-3. Blue Jays with a 14-1 win. It was a big night for Danny Jansen. It included a 4-for-4 game at the plate, including a pair of solo home runs, for a ball game that spanned 3 hours and 39 minutes. And watch the Blue Jays win it 14-1. On the other side of the break, our player of the game, and the play of the game follows this. It's Blue Jays baseball powered by Jack Lynx on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
What's a 7-run deficit? The Blue Jays don't know the meaning of insurmountable.
It's a game winner!
The Toronto Blue Jays play here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Back here, baseball control in Toronto. Blue Jays 14 and the New York Yankees 1. Blue Jays postgame is brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. With Ben Wagner, I'm Mike Wilner. This is the postgame show. The Blue Jays reduced their magic number to 1 with a win, and they can clinch a playoff spot with another win in the series finale tomorrow night with their ace, Hyunjin Ryu, on the mound. Let's take you back to our play of the game, and there are a lot of candidates. We could have given you every out in the top of the 5th inning by A.J. Cole when the Blue Jays were up 5-1, and he had to face the 3-4-5 with the bases loaded. In that 4-run ball game, he did a masterful job, but why not go to the big, bad breakout inning in the bottom of the 6th? Like last Monday, the Blue Jays scored 10 runs in the bottom of the 6th inning. Tonight, not quite as many, but it was pretty good. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. came up with the bases loaded, nobody out, hit a ground ball to 3rd to score 1 run. Then there was an RBI single by Lourdes Gurriel Jr., another by Travis Shaw. After a walk to Joe Panik, reloaded the bases, Danny Jansen got hit with a pitch to drive in another run. It was the only time Jano didn't get a hit tonight in his huge evening of work. Kevin Biggio then belted a 2-run double to make it 11-1, and he left a couple of runners for Bo Bichette.
The 0-1, Bichette swings and drives the ball to the gap in left center field. Hicks on the run, reaches out, and it's off his glove, down for a base hit. Jansen is in to score. Biggio is in to score. 2-run double for Bo Bichette. The runs are pouring in. 13-1, Toronto.
Capping an 8-run inning for the Blue Jays on the way to a 14-1 win.
What a way to just put an exclamation point on this ball game. Given an opportunity tonight, the Blue Jays little by little took advantage of some other opportunities, the throwing error, miscue, misplayed ball at first base. But this was one where they teed it up, nobody out, bases loaded, and the Blue Jays little by little added one, added two, two more, and then bang, 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 they kept on coming.
You contrast that with the Yankees. Bases loaded, nobody out, down by four. They don't score. Blue Jays, bases loaded, nobody out, up four. They score eight on the way to a 14-1 win. Time to pick a player of the game. Who've you got?
You know what? It's going to surprise a lot of people with the exclamation points, the dot 1-9. It's got to be A.J. Cole for me. He came in with the bases jam situation left by Robbie Ray, walks the first guy, loads the bases, and you think, oh no, here come the Yankees. Plus, where A.J. Cole had to go through in the order in that, facing Stan, facing Voit, facing Gleyber Torres. Those are dangerous bats, and they did nothing against A.J. Cole. Biggest three outs of the entire game.
There is no question about that, and thrilled to see that the official scorer agreed and gave A.J. the win as Ross Stripling wraps it up with four innings of one hitter to get the save. If you went with Jano, I'd have gone with Cole. You went with Cole, so I'll go with Danny Jansen. He becomes part of Blue Jays history. For the first time in franchise history, the Blue Jays have a different catcher, go 4-for-4. Two different catchers go 4-for-4 in the same series. Alejandro Kirk did it Monday night. Danny Jansen did it tonight. A single, a double, two home runs, three runs scored, and three RBIs. A breakout night, and how great would it be to have that back going into the postseason?
That would be outstanding for the Blue Jays. We've been waiting on it since February, early March, when Jano made a couple of adjustments, and you saw the power come back, and you thought maybe the power would also equal with average. And then he put so much stress on himself trying to learn all this pitching stuff and try to master a wristband and a pitching staff that seems to have the rules change on it every day and trying to get to know Hyunjin Ryu and his five pitches. Really difficult season. Now, finally, the bat is alive for Danny Jansen. I really hope it continues over the next week plus.
And he might actually work his way off the interstate. Danny Jansen came into this game hitting 160, goes 4-for-4. He's hitting 191. Take one more break and come back and get you set for tomorrow. Could be clinch night in Buffalo. Postgame show is powered by Jack Lynx on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
The Blue Jays win big tonight. They beat the New York Yankees by a score of 14-1, and that means tomorrow night a win clinches a playoff spot for the Jays for the first time in 4 years, and it also saws off their season series with the New York Yankees. We'll be on at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, and the ace will be on the mound in a battle of lefties, Hyunjin Ryu against Jordan Montgomery.
This is the ball game you want. If you've got a magic number, you got momentum moving towards a chance to do something that you haven't done in a really long time with a lot of players that only saw this when they were young minor leaguers watching it on television, and they only heard about how fun it was when they were then kind of brought into the big league scene and then shuttled off to the backfields in spring training the following year in 16 and also then 17, remembering about it. This will be a lot of fun tomorrow night with Hyunjin Ryu on the hill.
Yeah, it will. Tuesday's why they paid Hyunjin Ryu all that money, but tomorrow could be a preview, and we'll be on at 6:30 Eastern. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball powered by Jack Lynx. Send hunger down to the minors and feed your wild side. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Ben Wagner, Tom Young, Sutton Sam McKee, Andrew Holland, I'm Mike Wilner. We'll see you tomorrow.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Sports fans live in the moment. There's only tonight. Sportsnet tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Well, that was a fun watch. Blue Jays use an 8-run sixth inning and hammer the New York Yankees by a final score of 14-1. Their magic number is down to 1. This is Blue Jays Talk across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Sho Ali. Alongside me, Josh Goldberg for the rest of the evening. And Josh, will Blue Jays talk it up to the top of the hour? And I guess I'll ask you, Josh. I was going to start with someone, but considering the Jays just won 14-1, I guess we can start anywhere we want, right? I mean, we can start with Robbie Ray. We can start with the bullpen. We can talk about Danny Jansen. I'll leave it up to you. Dealer's choice. Where do you want to start tonight?
Well, I guess let's go positive, right? Like, all right. I guess there really aren't any negatives on a night where you win a ball game by a score of 14-1. But, you know, how about Danny Jansen, right? Like, coming into tonight, Kirk had started the last couple of games. Jansen hadn't played since the series against the Phils. And, you know, things were pretty rough up until them winning that last game on the six-game losing streak. And, like, let's face it here, Danny Jansen's been awful this year in pretty much every respect. His game calling has been troublesome. He's had a few moments where he's thrown out base stealers, but offensively, he's been just wretched. Coming into tonight, he had an OPS under 600, was hitting .160, he had 4 homers. He hit a third of his home runs. He's got 2 of his 6 homers tonight. Yeah, one was against Eric Kratz, but he went 4 for 4, was on base every time he stepped up. He was terrific, and it's certainly nice to see in a moment where a lot of people, probably rightly so, were saying, you know what, let's see more of Kirk behind the plate, throw caution to the wind. You know, any concerns you might have about his defensive struggles in a playoff situation, well, you need that bat in the lineup, and Jansen's not giving it to you. And in one game is not necessarily going to all of a sudden just flip the switch back to what we saw from Danny Jansen in his first kind of audition in the big leagues a couple of years ago. But yeah, Alejandro Kirk's not going to be starting, I don't think, as the catcher in game one of the playoffs, as much as a lot of people would like to see it. And maybe he right now is the better bat. It's unrealistic to imagine that's happening. Maybe he DHs against a lefty in a situation, if you're playing the Rays, maybe he DHs against Blake Snell to get his bat in the lineup. But I fully expect, and I still think ultimately it's the right decision, because I wouldn't be just turning the page on Danny Jansen, who's 25 years old, as the catcher of the future here. I think it's a good opportunity for him in his first kind of unexpected playoff exposure. Give him a look, see what happens here. This whole thing, you're playing with house money. I don't think Kirk right now is significantly better than Danny Jansen, and if that's not the case, then I lean with the guy who's been here for a little bit longer and has more experience, you know, managing a staff, even though it hasn't been great this year. So I would go with Jansen.
And we got a great note from Sportsnet Stats, and you probably heard Mike Wilner talk about it. I know Dan and Buck mentioned it on TV as well. A great note from Steve Fellen at Sportsnet Stats. First series in Jays history where two different catchers have recorded 4 hits each in a single game. So, of course, Alejandro Kirk did that on, I believe it was Monday night, and now, of course, Jansen did that tonight. And it's true that the battle between those two guys, and again, I shouldn't say battle. I hesitate to call it that because it's not really a battle. And like you said, Josh, I think I would probably feel more comfortable, and maybe I've been eased into it a little more based on what we've seen out of Danny Jansen. Certainly tonight, it's a big part of it. I mean, I think he is now 5 of 9 in his career against Masahiro Tanaka, which is not bad considering Tanaka has been one of the more steadier presences for the Yankees over time. But at the same time, yeah, I think I would like to see more from Alejandro Kirk going into a playoff series where virtually anything can happen, it feels like, right? Like, I mean, you get to, as much as we can talk about all the positives and all the negatives of the Blue Jays, and we'll continue talking about the positives tonight, certainly, but when you get into the playoffs, literally anything can happen in a 3-game series, to the point where I almost feel like you kind of throw out everything that's been happening before, and it would behoove you to look more at the recent history of what things are doing, which is why I'm so encouraged about Danny Jansen, especially tonight, for example.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for a 3-game series. You know, even a best of 5, you know, a team like the Jays going up against a team like the Rays, do I necessarily see them beating them 3 times in 5 games? Probably not. But could they win a series against Tampa Bay as they're both currently constructed? Yeah, it's definitely within the realm of possibility. I would still look at the Rays as like probably a 75% favorite, even considering all of the uncertainties and, you know, just wild cardness of playoff baseball just generally, especially magnified in a 3-game series. The Rays are still just wholly better ball club top to bottom. But that's the thing, 25%, you going into the season, if you had said, hey, you're going to have a 3-game series against the Rays, like there's a 25% chance you could make it to the wild card round, I guess we're calling it, because this is whatever it is, the play-in round. Everyone would have taken that. So,
yeah.
Like I said, you're playing with house money, and at this point, yeah, if they win game one, which is certainly a possibility if Ryu just pitches well and you know they're able to win a ball game 4-2 or something like that, yeah, then all of a sudden you just got to win one of the next two. It's certainly very doable. That's why, you know, obviously it's cliche to say winning game one in a best of three would be huge, but for certain teams, it would be even more vital, and I think the Jays really fall into that category. Like, if Tampa Bay falls down 0-1, I don't think everyone's just going to say, well, oh, they're done. They can't come back and win two in a row, whereas a team like the Jays fall behind, assuming, again, we're talking as if they're in. The magic number is one. We all assume that they will get in. But assuming that, you know, the Jays were to lose game one, I don't know how many people would be feeling super confident about the prospect of them winning two straight over a team like the Rays.
Yeah, that would be a tall order, especially in a 3-game series. It looks like, I believe, with the Rays winning, I believe they have now clinched the division. They are the number one seed. They have clinched that division, which means, I guess, the Yankees are now locked into one of the 4 or 5 spot, mm-hmm. which basically means they'll play someone from, I think, the AL Central. And I believe that also means that I think this was the Angels won earlier tonight, and Cleveland won, I believe, as well in a walk-off, another walk-off for Cleveland. So they remain 3 games ahead of the Blue Jays. So there's still a possibility, certainly, with, I think, now, 4 games left in the season. There's still a possibility the Jays can sneak up into that 7th seed. But virtually all things considered, even with a 3-game series looming with the Baltimore Orioles, it certainly seems like the Jays are more or less, and again, they have to pick up just one more win, like we're talking about, after tonight's 14-1 win against the New York Yankees. But still, let's just say they pick up that one win, Josh, then it's for all intents and purposes, like we're doing right now, it's going to be Jays and Rays in this, you know, quote-unquote first round of the playoff baseball.
Yeah, it is. I've basically come to terms with that, and now it's about, for me, yeah, you gotta get in, but it's about what the roster is going to look like come, I assume I'm pretty sure it's Tuesday that the series would start.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's a lot of questions right now. Like, if you're in the playoffs, my big question is, so is Vladimir Guerrero playing first base primarily? Is he playing DH? Like, Travis Shaw, it's not good. I know he ended up having a late RBI knock, and okay, that's great. But the numbers have been terrible, and the at-bats have mostly been pretty bad and pretty non-competitive. So what are you looking at here? I don't want to necessarily see a ton of Shaw. So if you're playing Vladdy at first, we saw him butcher a foul pop. He's liable to making boneheaded plays at first base, and he's not particularly great there in terms of range and stuff. So I just wonder, and we can get into this more coming up, I just really wonder what the roster construction is going to look like.
Yeah, I think I've seen enough of Travis Shaw to know that I would like to see less of him come the playoffs. I think let's take a break, Josh. We'll come right back and wrap up Jay's talk. But I do want to chat with you a little more on, I mentioned him before, but Robbie Ray. We saw a little bit from AJ Cole, who that was probably the turning point in tonight's game. I know we talked about that sixth inning, certainly, where the Jays, the bats just kept on coming. But at the same time, right before that in the fifth inning, AJ Cole got out of the bases loaded jam. We got a decent look at some good work from Ross Stripling tonight. So let's take the quick break, and we'll be right back across the Sportsnet Radio Network to talk a little more Blue Jays.